Welcome to the Future of Healthcare Live with Intent podcast with Thomas Reichart and Justin Tomlinson, authors of Live with Intent and architects of the LWI Learning Pathway. This week is a special edition with the master of adventure himself, Justin Tomlinson. Thomas and our guest host, Wolfgang Golisch, learn about Justin's life and motivations. Justin has a unique and sometimes unorthodox approach to creating personal and professional solutions through adventure.
So welcome to this special edition of the Live with Intent podcast. Today we got a really special deal going on. We thought we're going to interview Justin. Justin, our dear colleague, business partner, friend, and we thought we'll speak with him about mindset enabling leadership and the future of healthcare. For that, we've invited our colleague, Dr. Wolfgang Golisch, to join us and to help me interview Justin. Wolfgang is a board certified anesthesiologist. He's got solid, long background, clinical experience in hospital settings. He's a seasoned pharmaceutical medicine professional with over 20 years of experience in industry. And if you've heard the first podcast we've done, you'll hear more about Wolfgang's deep connection to the topic of trust. Thank you, Wolfgang, for joining me today.
Thank you, Thomas, and you're very welcome. Thank you for your kind words.
Thanks. Hey, and over to Justin. Good to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be here as a guest.
Yeah, now you can feel how it is, yeah, right, to be on the questioning seat.
I'm going to do my best. I went surfing last night and filled my sinuses full of water, so I hope I don't sound funny on audio today.
So, hey, the first time we've met was in the summer of 1998 in Brussels, Belgium. I recall very vividly, I was one of the keynote speakers at a e-commerce shopping conference there, and you were so kind to come and so we could meet in the hotel to connect, have a meeting, and talk about how we could succeed in setting up Franklin Covey in Europe. I mean, help us understand, why did you come from beautiful Utah over to Brussels in the first place?
You know, that was a great privilege and honor, having worked with Stephen Covey. For those who may not know that name in the U.S., he was one of the top brands in leadership. He wrote the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I had the privilege of working with him and being given the opportunity to be one of the first people on the ground in continental Europe to bring that company to Europe. And Thomas, you became very quickly my guide to all things Europe, which has turned into a wonderful 20-year friendship and business partnership.
Yes, thank you, Justin. And it, absolutely vice versa. All things to US and all things to leadership and mindset enabling. What a wonderful start that has been for both of us, right? To learn from Stephen Covey, from the wonderful organization he had built, and to help scale that across Europe. I recall back then already your interest and your deep commitment to the content of principle-centeredness. So right there, whilst there were some colleagues for them, it was a consulting thing or a training thing. You struck me back then already about deeper cuts of principle-centered leadership, deeper cuts of understanding how people work in organizations. Where did that come from, this deep interest in human interaction at the workplace?
You know, for a lot of years, I thought that came from my education or from my work with the Covey organization. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that that all came from my parents. And they are the ones that taught me these principles by giving me full trust and giving me freedom and teaching me about abundance mindset. I consider probably one of the greatest childhoods in the world, full of adventure. Every weekend we'd go on these adventures, either boating, at Lake Powell or Flaming Gorge. We'd go jeeping in Moab or motorcycling in Beaver. It's like my childhood went from one adventure to the next. And what's interesting to me looking back is that I thought that was all just fun. And now I realize that within those adventures were deep relationship building, bonding. We connected with people on those adventures in a different way, at a different level, where we could let our hair down and really be ourselves and be open to discover new things. And it's not until recently that I've realized where my understanding of these principles came from and what I'm doing in life and what I enjoy. In fact, I'm actually finding the most joy in helping other people discover those principles through adventure. And it's beautiful.
Great connection to adventure, sharing fun time in the depth of relationships. Hey, what an answer. I've had a perfect childhood. What does that mean?
You know, when I think about trust or when I think about freedom, those principles, I remember being probably 8 or 9 on a camping trip with my parents and many of their friends and their friends' kids. And I was trusted to take the motorcycle and drive probably 20 minutes away on these dirt roads in the mountains to what we called the Big Spring to get a drink of water. And the fact that my parents just trusted me with that motorcycle and to go out on my own into the wilderness gave me such a deep sense of freedom. They had this ritual where every August, never failed, 1 week, Beaver, Utah, in the mountains with this group of people that we built these bonds and lifetime relationships with. And it's in those experiences where they demonstrated their trust for me. I remember another year, actually, I didn't have my driver's license yet, but couldn't go on the same day. I think I was only 15 as they were leaving. No problem. They let me drive the car 3.5 hours with no driver's license, trusting that I would be responsible and that I wouldn't, you know, stir up any trouble and create a problem for them. And so for me, this trust that gave me a sense of freedom and self-confidence, that's actually what I'm trying to perpetuate in the work that I do with my clients. It's funny, guys. I didn't realize that until just recently. I didn't realize how rich I was as a kid. My parents taught me the principle of abundance and taught me that wealth is a mindset. My dad worked in the local steel plant. My mom was a clerk at the 7-Eleven. I can't imagine they had that much money, but we had a boat, we had a camper, we had a motorcycle, we had all the adventure tools that we needed. And I felt rich. I felt loved. And I remember there was a phase in my life after living in Europe for a number of years where I thought I needed to somehow cut those roots and find my own way. And it actually isn't true. And Mom, if you're listening, what I've really learned, what I see clearly today, is that the life you guys gave me is exactly the life that I'm trying to help others discover. This life of trusting themselves, of experiencing freedom and living life on their terms, having a level of gratitude and self-confidence that gives them a sense of peace in life. All that stuff I learned from my parents. And if I could do what my parents did for me with other people in the world, I'll feel like I've done okay in life.
Thanks for sharing, Justin.
It's now since 20 years you came to Europe, and I think already then it started that you worked very much and mostly for big healthcare organizations. You do that in Europe. You do this in the United States. You're working with big organizations, with smaller startup companies who recently became also very successful. So what is it for you working for the healthcare industry? What's your deep connection to that?
What's drawn me in to healthcare is the people. I don't have a medical background or medical expertise myself. And what I find with the people in the healthcare industry, they are purpose-driven. They are these people that invest extraordinary amounts of time to develop an expertise so that they can tangibly and powerfully impact society. And being around such experts, such thought leaders with a deep sense of purpose is inspiring to me. And anything that I can do from my skill set, from my strength in helping people to see bigger, bolder horizons, that's exhilarating for me. And so I've just found in healthcare, they're the most expert, purpose-driven people that I've found, and I've just gravitated towards that. And probably the last 10 years have resulted in 90%+ of my professional life working in healthcare. I love it.
Thank you. I mean, for somebody who worked in this industry for 22 years, these are nice, very nice words. And sometimes the reputation is different, but that's exactly what you described, what drove me and drove so many of the people I worked with and who worked for me.
It's really true. Most of the people that I've come to know really well in the healthcare industry, their focus is on society. Their focus is on people and making a difference for them. And yeah, that's just different than other industries.
So you just celebrated 30 years with your dear wife, Jenny. What an accomplishment. So congratulations. Tell us more about how marriage influences leadership.
Well, I think I like to say that the home is the great laboratory. So if you want to learn how to apply these principles in your professional life, you have a wonderful laboratory right at home. And I think that's important because I know for Jenny, she's one of the few people in my life that I absolutely know she has my best interest in heart. And she's able to coach me, to correct me, to guide me in ways that nobody else can. And one of the principles in Live with Intent, Go Exponential, is based on the idea or the concept of listening without judgment. And that's one I still struggle with because it's easy for me to fall into the trap. I've been to this movie. I know how it ends. And sometimes I jump to conclusions and I don't fully listen. And she doesn't let me get away with that. And I would say one of the great gifts she is in my life is helping me to grow as a person.
I so vividly recall a dialogue I had with you almost 15 years ago, where you shared with me that it's so essential for you to spend free time, quality time, fun time with people that you love, that you like, that you respect, and that this connection is one of the essence of the way that you build relationships.
And probably it's where I get my energy. So one of the things that I've discovered in life is that having a personal power plant and generating and building energy is essential for high performance. And for me, that is taking the time to go on adventures. And lucky for me, not only do I do that for my own private life, but more and more I'm doing that with my professional work life as well. When we get on an adventure, when we get into nature, the level of connection and freedom that people feel to their own purpose and to their own possibility opens up. And so for me, taking that time on adventures is essential to my own energy.
So adventure, energy, friendship, I've got to make the bridge to you, Wolfgang, and to give the time to you. You're the only colleague I know that takes the Volkswagen van all across Canada and the US and to meet up with Justin and Lake Powell for some adventure work. How has it been for you to connect in the last few years to Justin, to the work of Justin and the adventures you both have been doing?
Yeah, it was actually in 2014 when I took over a new organization within the company I was working for, and it was a region basically spanned from Morocco to Mongolia and from Moscow to Johannesburg, and I was wondering what shall I do there? How can I bring that all together? And I was looking for a consultant, a facilitator, and a coach to help me and the team. And then my colleague in HR said, we don't have anybody internally, sorry, but you may call Justin. So we connected, and it was for me at the beginning, wow, what? We are going out into nature? What? We are preparing for team meetings, for the leadership team meetings, for the strategy, not in a meeting room, but we go into a hotel, take a suite, have two good days. And when we were, let's say, running out of energy, we just went for a walk. It was late in the year, and we went for out to the Christmas market to have some fun. So I realized how much energy that could bring. Yeah? And it's just what Justin was explaining, why he is doing that and why he is forcing his clients to think beyond the pure work. So that was, at the beginning, a breakthrough experience for me and the team. And again, in hindsight, Justin, thank you for this experience. So I learned from you going on adventures. I had probably not done that had I not met you. So this was a big difference to the times before in my career, and I think also for the whole team. What do you experience when you suggest this to people, Justin? Is it always that your clients embrace it? So what are your experiences when you come with this concept?
Well, similar to yours, at first, very skeptical. I remember you feeling like, well, do we need permission for this? I mean, this is unusual to go have fun and play to prepare a very serious meeting. Shouldn't we be doing that at the office? Luckily, you took a risk and we had a great result. And that led to even bigger and bolder actions to where I've now been on many adventures with you, Wolfgang. And I think there's a similar pattern. People who take the risk and experience what adventure and nature can do to one's creativity and one's boldness and one's openness to potential, you can't duplicate that in the office or the boardroom. Something is special about being in nature. And if I look at you in where I first met you and the mindset you were in versus where you are today in terms of living life on your terms and contributing in very powerful ways, that's exciting to me. And on top of all that, we've developed a great friendship.
That's pretty true. I always used to say to Jenny, the biggest honor for somebody, for myself, is if I'm allowed to cook in somebody else's kitchen. So this is really true trust. And I'm allowed to cook in Jenny's kitchen. So
anytime.
There was another thing that impressed me, really, and at the beginning, and I will not forget that moment when you draw this graph with the two dimension and the resultant dimension, and I'm talking about see, do, and grow. And that was something that from that very moment, from the first time I used it throughout the organization. And for me personally, a breakthrough. Can you explain to the audience the essence of see, do, grow?
I think it starts with being clear on what it is you're trying to grow. So that could be your profit in the business. That could be your free time as an individual. That could be your reputation. That could be your relationships. Whatever it is you want to grow is a function of two things: what you see, or your mindsets, and what you do, your behaviors. And what I find is that most people are so busy doing that they see less than what's possible for them. For example, they may become so focused on their current role and they do everything for their role perfectly. But if they would just take the time to step away and ask a question like, if I were going to solve the same problem that I'm working on now in this role at a company or an industry level, what would that look like? And as soon as they can see that opportunity, that possibility, they start doing different things and their impact grows. And so for me, it's a very simple principle of first see and then do. And this, again, coming back to nature, is why I love the power of adventure, because usually it gets people out of the daily grind of what they're normally doing and gets them into a place where they have the time and the space and the bandwidth to see. And they can begin to see, what is it that they're feeling? What is it that they really have to offer? What is their unique contribution? And taking that time to look at the bigger picture of contribution and lifetime legacy usually leads to different behaviors, usually leads to doing different things that in many cases exponentially increases their impact and their joy.
I can confirm that. And another aspect for me, when I also now teach see, do, grow to our clients, is once you see and you really have that clear, you start telling the story and you start sharing. And you have deep own foundation because you know what you want and what you see. So you have time to listen to the others, you share and you listen, and then the doing comes somehow by itself. So it activates connections and the network. So this was my experience with C2Grow and continues to be.
So wonderful. We're right in the middle of the content that is so part of your work, Justin and Wolfgang. And in one word, Justin, what are you? Are you a consultant? Are you a coach? Are you a horizon finder? Are you an enabler? What are you?
I would say I'm an adventurer, having human adventures with people. That simple.
So as an adventurer, you have a horizon.
Well, I think the adventure gives way to seeing bigger horizons. And for me, it's very satisfying and very rewarding to grow my own horizon through taking adventures with other people and to see their horizons grow as well. So for me, adventure is the avenue or the pathway to finding your unique horizon. Because again, it helps you step out of the daily routine and listen to your experience, your instincts. And on top of that, adventures are a lot of fun. So it's rewarding all the way around.
So when you're in the middle of an adventure, what do you hear or sense when you paddleboard with friends or clients or family at 7 a.m. in the morning after a night on deck looking at the stars at Lake Powell? When you're out there at 7 in the morning, Fozzie, your dog, on the paddleboard with you, what goes through your head?
I think that's the beauty of it, is that you get into a state where you're very present. And you're less worried about all the, you know, the daily demands of living. And it gives you an opportunity to have freedom of thought where you can listen to your feelings and exchange at a deeper level, whether that's personal, professional, whatever it may be. You just are in a different zone. And those experiences can be created. Sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of effort to get all the equipment, to get all the logistics, to get everything in place to go have one of these adventures. But once you're there, you can really be present with yourself and with those around you. That's the magic.
Trust is a strong element in our content, our work, and in the adventures that you have created and continue to create for leadership teams. How has trust changed in the last 10 years?
Well, I think there's become a greater awareness of the importance of trust, the value of trust, and the recognition, as our colleague Stephen M. R. Covey talks about, it's the one thing that changes everything. With trust, things are easy, they flow, they're fun. Without trust, they're slow, they're walking around on eggshells, they're avoidance and very slow. So I think the thing that's changed is the awareness of how critical it is and probably our skills in creating the environment and the dialogue to build trust and to recognize it is something you can intentionally create.
Thanks. And Wolfgang, I mean, in the enablement and the commitments that you've seen Justin carry out, where do you see Justin's strongest commitment to our clients?
Where I see Justin's strongest commitment, or what he really adds to what is special about having him as a coach, consultant, facilitator, is that he really forces people in a very friendly way, you almost don't feel it, to become clear about what is your contribution? What is your impact? So he gets this out and people enjoy that when they discover it. And it's often we are so focused on the details of the work, on the processes. We are inside the organization. And his commitment, his unique skill is to get that out of people so that they see it, who they are and what their commitment and contribution is, and then start talking about it. And Justin doesn't let you go before you are enabled to talk about it. And that's a strong, strong skill. And I haven't seen that from anybody else yet.
You're really right there. And hey, Justin, so what do you advise clients that, for example, say, yeah, I'm going through the motions, my career is going okay, you know, the money is good, I'm going to stick around, but I've got no clue about my horizon, where I'm going, neither about me nor my organization, let alone the industry I'm in. So I'm doing my job.
Well, it usually would start with the question, and how's that going for you? Because just in the way you describe that, something is missing for this person. And for me, it usually can lead to a question about, well, what is it that interests you and fascinates you? What are the trends you're following? What is it when you look out on your horizon draws you in, has a tendency to capture your attention? Whether it's through a video you see or an article you read, you just tend to gravitate towards that, and helping them lean in and explore that a bit. Because for me, that's the key to a powerful horizon. It's something that's already fascinating, interesting, compelling, that draws us in. So I think that combined with thinking about how could you contribute there? What is your unique contribution? Again, it goes back to see, do, grow. The person you're describing is probably so focused on their role and their routine and ticking the boxes that maybe they're not listening to what their heart really yearns for. Maybe they're not listening to what could be uniquely valued as their contribution. And if you can help them see that, it lights a fire that is, you can't put it out.
Justin, this quote, don't ask what the country can do for you, ask what you can do for the country. And sometimes I hear you, and you often explain this, you know, you are working, you talk to your client, you are working for this very important big company. You should use this company as a platform for your impact, to increase your impact. And you first hear that, you think, well, I shall use the company? Shouldn't I do something for the company instead of using the company? So it sounds can sound confusing for people. What is the secret here? What do you really mean? What does that really mean?
I think it's the essence, Wolfgang, of the principle of freedom. Am I a captive of my organization, even a prisoner? Am I here subject to all of the boundaries of my organization? Or is this my life? And I'm in charge of my life and my contribution. And the most value that I could create for this organization is to stand on it as a platform for achieving my unique contribution. Those are the high impact contributors to the organization. So it's actually the organization that needs each of their associates, each of their employees, to be very clear about where they're going in their life and what they're meant to contribute. And yes, there are some structures and there are some governance things within the organization that people need to pay attention to. But as soon as you feel like they're a victim to those things and they're suppressed by the organization, then that's typically someone who's lost sight of what is their unique purpose, what is their contribution. And it's getting muffled, it's getting stifled. And honestly, in all boldness, that's on them. Blaming the organization does nothing for them. And the people who can own, hey, you know what? I'm really feeling stifled. I'm really feeling held back. I'm really feeling frustrated. People who can own that and take responsibility for that and become clear about where they want to go and stand up on that organization as a platform, those are the people that create the value.
What I have learned from that is really a good, healthy portion of egoism, egocentrism, in the sense of becoming clear about who I am, what's my contribution, what's my impact that actually brings the value. And that is the moment when I'm, as a leader, doing what I'm being paid for in an organization.
Correct.
Justin, one of the phrases that you use a lot is chase your private horizon with the same amount of energy and commitment as your professional horizon. And you state the hypothesis that if people do that, they excel in their professional horizons. Why is that?
You know, I think that what happens is when people feel a deep sense of security and a deep sense of meaningful contribution in their personal lives, it gives them a stability in their professional lives to do just what we talked about before, take responsibility and the risks to be bold in their professional life. You know, if I'm in my professional life, I probably have a routine where I plan out my upcoming week or my upcoming month. I know these are the appointments I have. These are the deadlines I have. These are the tasks that I have to complete. And they very intentionally work that out. And my point is that if you took with the same intensity, not the same time, but the same intensity, looked at your personal life and your legacy, how you want to be remembered and which relationships are most important to you and where do you get your personal energy, and you put the same intensity into cultivating your personal life, it gives you a different boldness and a different stability in your professional life, and you bring a different energy. See, people don't need more energy so that they can work more hours and work harder. They're already working more hours and harder than they probably should be. They need more energy because it changes the way they show up. And the way they show up determines who else supports, follows, joins them in wherever they're going. And so if I'm really at peace with myself in my personal life, and I'm doing the things that give me energy, I'm showing up in my professional life in a way that's attractive, that other people want to be part of what I'm doing.
Justin, where do you get all this energy from? I know when you get it, because it's difficult to schedule something with you on Thursdays. But how do you get your energy? What are you doing there?
I think you're referring to my Adventure Thursday. And whenever I'm in Utah, I have a standing appointment where two of my best friends, all the way from junior high, we all try to keep that day free to go on adventures. We go horseback riding or motorcycle riding or skiing, boating, whatever it is. We plan it the night before usually and say, what are we doing tomorrow? And that gives me a lot of energy. You know, these Mike and Todd have been such a constant source of inspiration, security, friendship in my life, that I take a lot of energy from them. In fact, you know, it's not unusual that I will be laying in bed nearly asleep at 10:30 at night, and I'll get a call from Todd, and he'll say, "Let's go for a horse ride. I'll meet you at my dad's in 15 minutes. And I don't even have to think about it. It's like, "Oh yeah, of course, I'll be there." And I jump out of bed and get dressed, and we go for a midnight ride on the horses. And having that constancy in my life brings a lot of energy.
Well, thank you for your commitment to excellence, for your commitment to bringing out the best in people and inspiring them to a horizon. There is a whole tribe, a multitude of clients whose life was touched in the last decade and decades as we work together. I think in one word, in one sentence without comma, Justin, you are the horizon maker.
Thank you, guys. That's kind.
Thanks for sharing, and thanks for being with us today.
Now let's turn to Thomas and Wolfgang for a brief reflection on today's discussion.
Hey, it was a great idea, Wolfgang, to have Justin to be interviewed today, wasn't it?
It was a super idea, and fascinating. I mean, we're working now together, you 20 years, Justin and I for 7 years, and getting the things explained again, it's a new learning. The ideas of trust, freedom, see, do, grow, the horizon. And this all linked to a very real life and person. So where does that all come from and why?
I remember in, you know, the early years and the early struggles as we pulled the first teams together, Justin was this example already then of being proactive, being focused on the right things, and already then having incredible abundance mentality. He was all about sharing and caring right from the start. Now it's like, it feels like we stand on holy ground when we help people discover their horizons, when we ignite this inner fire, and when we see people connect that. And Justin is so talented in actually bringing that core element into people's consciousness, right? This boldness, the stability, yeah, even the different energy that he says it brings out in people, actually he brings that to the table, right?
Yeah, and here I like to talk for a minute about the difference between enablement and development. So what this means is actually bringing out what is there, what is present, what is probably covered under a lot of things like processes and routines and doing, without making it conscious to oneself. So this is my foundation. That is what enables me now. And we talk about development. It's something that may happen in the future, and we forget about all the power and the strengths and the ideas which are already present, which we can discover now and bring out now. And that is Justin's unique talent. He looks at that. I remember when we developed a program, and I presented this to one of the managers in the company we were working for, and he said, "Don't come again with the leadership development program." And I said, "We are not doing that. That's a leadership enabling program for the people you have as leaders in position, and you trust them. So let's help them to do a great job. Now, be a nowist here."
I love our little competition we have, you know, the little competition about who's going to be the game changer for the other and how can we raise the game? How can we make a difference? Mm-hmm. And it's like, isn't it always super refreshing the way Justin shows up, right? It's super game changing. And so he always stretches us on the competition. I love it.
Good thing is that we win here and there.
Absolutely. Once in a while. Once in a while we do.
To all of our listeners, thank you for listening. Our desire is to explore and contribute to the future of healthcare by applying the principles of Live with Intent.
For more information on the future of healthcare, Live with Intent, go to www.livewithintent.eu. This podcast was produced by Madeline May.